You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Welcome to another episode of Nerd Overload, your buckwild guide to pop and geek culture. Hi, Mom. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you.
A buckwild show for you this week.
We do have a buckwild show for you this week. Did we mention it's buckwild? we have a great show for you this week. A bunch of news, but first let's get into some things we have been checking out. And you know what? I'm taking the initiative. I'm going to take the reins on this one.
We forgot the dice again.
Yeah, I know. I should just have a giant die sitting here. But whatever. So I had a chance to check out a couple of things. First one is plenty geeky, but not really in a traditional sense. I went down to see They Might Be Giants down in Columbus last week.
The best band in the world.
A very, very, very good band.
Close to it.
Yeah. They're like the pinnacle of like geeky, like half folksy, half indie kind of rock.
Yeah.
Of the two Johns, I think Flansburgh was way more into it.
That's normal.
he's more of the showman for sure, but they played all the hits except for Experimental Film, which is probably my favorite of their tracks, but it's one that doesn't get a whole lot of play, but that's okay.
Did they do the Powerpuff Girls one?
They didn't do the Powerpuff Girls one. No. Mm-hmm. they basically hit all the high notes, and then they played some off of their new album, which is releasing soon, I think. Also, they did a couple of their newer Dyla songs, because they brought that back.
Yeah. Did they do Anna Ng?
They did do Anna Ng.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a good song. Yeah, I like that one a lot. But no, that show was great. It was a really good crowd. Not rowdy like most concerts that I go to, but considering the source, you know, not too bad. There's a lot of swaying back and forth, which is good. Yeah.
There's a lot. They're good at picking songs you wouldn't expect.
Yes.
But you also want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. But no, they did Anna Ng. They did. They actually ended the show on a double rolling from Dr. Worm into Birdhouse in Your Soul.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was a really good one. They did. Oh, they did Particle Man. They did. They actually did Particle Man and Istanbul like super early in the set.
Really?
Get them out of the way.
Got them out of the way. Well, here's the thing.
People have bedtimes.
They didn't. The show was almost 3 hours long. Jeez. They, it was crazy. They didn't have an opener. They did two sets. So they did. So they played for like, you know, 45 minutes and then took a 20 minute break, or an hour and 15 minutes, and then took a 20 minute break and then came back and did a second set. So it was, it was pretty close to midnight by the time.
That's rad.
Yeah, it was a great show. I'm really glad I
saw they announced the second leg of their tour the other day, and they're going to be in Covington, Kentucky, which is like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, so.
So I might go to that one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I might see it again. That was great. Yeah. But no, that was a lot of fun. The other thing I had a chance to check out, the Drexel Theater down in Columbus every month does a show, midnight showing of The Room. And I've always wanted to get down there and go to that. I love going to see midnight movies. I love The Room.
The Room in a theater. Like,
yeah, it was great up on the big screen. You know, it was something that I've never done and kind of just wanted to experience. So I went, and for the most part, it was fun. For the most part, it was an experience much like seeing Rocky Horror Picture Show, where there were a lot of like interactive things that people happened to just already know what to do, like throwing spoons at the screen whenever the spoon shows up, the framed spoon in the background. That was great to a point, but it got annoying after a while.
Because people do them so robotically.
One, it was very robotic, and two, there's a fine line between having a good or rowdy crowd and being obnoxious. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, like when we saw Rocky Horror, there was a guy that would just shout because there's stuff you're supposed to say, and he would just shout it at the top volume with no real inflection or comedic timing.
I was sitting right next to a gentleman that was doing exactly that.
It was probably the same guy.
More than likely. Yeah, it was. that part wasn't great.
Because it's like, now you're not being funny. You're just doing a thing.
Just screaming yeah. stuff. It was, that wasn't a ton of fun. But seeing it on the big screen and being part of the crowd, that was a blast. I don't know if it's something I would do every single month, but I would go back down again, probably try to take some people with to go down and see it for sure.
You know, suffer in numbers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But the price was right. It was only like, I want to say $650.
I think Studio 35 has picked it up.
They're going to start doing it. They're doing it and Grandview, which I guess is Studio 35 as well.
Yeah.
It's Studio 35 by proxy.
Yeah, pretty much. But they picked it up and they're going to start doing it once a month as well.
Maybe the crowd there will be better.
Or maybe it'll be the exact same crowd because they're doing it on different weekends.
So it probably will be the same crowd.
It probably will be the same crowd.
They'll follow the room like a bad herd.
Yeah, yeah. But the Drexel, I guess, has been airing The Room on the second Saturday of every month nonstop for 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's that old.
No kidding, right? But no, they've done it for a long time and they plan on continuing to do it. And yeah, I'd go back down to see it again. It's fun on the big screen. For sure. Really awkward those first 20 minutes, man, in a big crowd. Yeah, that's a bit rough. But yeah. But no, that's pretty much what I've been doing this past week or so.
Why is he humping her belly button?
The $1 million question.
Because Tommy Wiseau is an alien and he doesn't know how human beings
procreate.
Just doesn't know how it works. Well,
that's my favorite theory, that he's an alien.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
He's so weird. Mm-hmm. Nondescript European accent. You have no idea anything about him. He's just a goofball.
European accent?
Vaguely?
Vaguely European? Are you sure? He claims he's from New Orleans.
Really?
Yeah. In The Disaster Artist, that is one of the things that he makes mention constantly, that he wants everyone to think that he's from America. Because he loves America and American culture so much. He tells everyone he's from New Orleans.
We are from France.
Yeah, we are from France. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. He's a secret conehead monster. Yeah.
Yes. I checked out a movie.
From the library?
I mean, I've thought about it. No, I picked up Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I wanted to watch that. Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It almost suffers from the same problem that The Killing Joke was, is the fact that the graphic novel itself is not really long enough to pad out an hour and a half movie. But they
don't pad it out with horrible garbage.
They did a better job filling it and making it feel more organic.
Okay.
Than The Killing Joke was, because Killing Joke was really...
It's really disjointed.
Yeah, and awkward.
It was like, here's a half hour of something you didn't ever want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's The Killing Joke.
Yeah. And we've talked about The Killing Joke on here before, so we don't really need to dig back into that.
But they do change some things in Gotham by Gaslight from the graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
Like who the identity of the serial killer is and stuff like that, which is fine. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan, but the way they did it, it definitely made a more of a kind of a mystery horror kind of aspect of it rather than just, you know, a Batman film.
See, that's cool. I think that genre, that style lends itself to the Gotham by Gaslight. We should explain what Gotham by Gaslight is.
So Gotham by Gaslight was the first title in when DC started experimenting with their Elseworld series.
Yeah, it's like stories that take place outside of continuity, set in a lot of times in different time periods, or they're what ifs basically.
Yeah, they're DC what ifs of let's take these characters and throw them into different situations.
Right.
Gotham by Gaslight happens to be Batman and Company in a Victorian era 1800s Gotham.
Almost steampunky, but not quite.
Yeah, like it's not quite sci-fi-ish enough to be steampunk.
Right.
But it's...
It's too grounded to be steampunk.
Yeah.
Not as fantastical.
Now, the sequel to Gotham by Gaslight was a little more steampunk. What was that? Like Man of the Future, I think is what it was called.
Yeah, and there's actually a in Multiversity. Was it Multiversity or 52? One of the two where they go to one of the multiple Earths. Gotham by Gaslight is one of the Earths, and they interact with the Blue Beetle, mm-hmm. who is like a Doctor Strange type character
cool.
set in yeah. The Gotham by Gaslight. And his basically the beetle, the scarab, was his Eye of Agamotto.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a good movie. Design choices were really neat.
Mm-hmm.
The way they designed Batman and Bruce, he was more of a kind of a stockier, you know, bare knuckle boxer type build.
And for that time period,
yeah,
that would be the way they would go with it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of they threw a lot of Batman characters at you in kind of different scenarios, like Poison Ivy, but she's not like a plant villain person. She's like a
sideshow dancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the first 10 minutes of it. Yeah.
It was a good film. I liked it. Art was done really well. Sound was really good. They did a lot. Actually, watching the behind the scenes stuff, they did a lot of research actually, like in Victorian, like fashion and architecture and whatnot to make it look good.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. I really want to watch the rest of it. It looks really cool.
Yeah, I definitely want to pick it up and give it a watch because I do like that setting quite a bit. I enjoy that, and I really hope they're never going to make it, but I hope they do an animated movie based on the Green Lantern set at 1920s or like what was it? The Boss Hogg era. Not Boss Hogg.
God, that's them old Duke boys.
Them Duke boys gonna fire up their Green Lantern rings.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, what was it? It's like you keep talking about this. I'm going to look it up because this is gonna bother me, but because it's a really good series.
I'm sitting over here trying to think of more Dukes of Hazzard Green Lantern jokes, but I got nothing.
Well, you know, it makes sense because they replaced the Duke boys after a couple seasons. They did the same thing with Hal Jordan. So it works. It works. A big giant ring construct of the Duke Boy car.
Yeah, of the
General
Lee. General Lee. The yeah. Duke Boy car. That's like calling the DeLorean the time
sedan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doc Brown's time car. Batman's car. Bruce Wayne's car.
Oh man.
Is Batman Ninja the next one that's gonna come out?
Oh yeah, that one looks good.
Yeah, that looks really awesome.
Green Lantern Evil's Might, set in New York City in 1888.
Okay.
Political cartoonist Kyle Rayner gets the ring and he ends up fighting against a corrupt cop, Irish cop, who is Guy Gardner, who has a shillelagh with a ring embedded in the top of it. And yeah,
he looks very like a cross between the Spirit and Alan Scott.
That's what it is. It's Alan Scott's origin, but with Kyle Rayner as a political cartoonist in 1888.
So it's more magic than space.
It is 100% magic.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. There is no space to it.
So, they would never do this.
Yeah, they would never do it, but...
It's way too off of... too different from what the original is about.
Yeah, it's like the Bowery Boys.
And yeah,
like
yeah, that, yeah.
That's, you know what? They might, though, because isn't there a Netflix series that was recently released that kind of did around the same kind of era? I can't think
like
of it.
Peaky Blinders?
Oh, Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Yeah, the British underworld kind of...
Yeah. But anyway, that's
yeah.
Neither here nor there.
I mean, they've been...
I'm trying to figure out where you got Boss Hogg.
Boss Tweed is
yeah,
what it was.
That's Boss what Tweed. It was.
But it came, yeah. came
Tammany
out.
Tammany Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you, a lot of the Elseworlds stories really, I think, really lend to movies.
They do.
Because...
They're self-contained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I like the DC animated movie verse.
Mm.
But after a while, I got a little tired of... kind of getting hit in the head over it.
Yeah. I would love to see a Kingdom Come animated series or cartoon movie.
Would they, you think they would draw it like,
Alex Ross,
like, Alex Ross art?
It would be near impossible for them to, because that is like hyper realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most expensive film ever created.
Yeah.
I really wanted to watch that, For Love of Vincent movie they did. Not DC, but the whole movie is done. Looks like Van Gogh paintings, and it's about Van Gogh's life.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That did look really good.
But yeah. But anyway,
they always try to work in the original art, like...
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't so much do that for Gotham by Gaslight because that was done by Mike Mignola.
Oh, yeah. And his art lends itself to animation.
It does, but there is a lot of dark.
They kind of have to mess with it a little bit.
There is a lot of dark, but they have a good use of like shadow and whatnot in this one.
Oh, a good example of that is the Amazing Screw-On Head animated movie.
Yes.
That's excellent. That's such an awesome
movie. It's a great movie.
And the two Hellboy animated films they did. Mm-hmm. What was that? Blood and Iron and...
I love Screw-On Head. I can't remember the other one. I was very disappointed that Sci-Fi didn't pick it up.
Hellboy, Iron, and Wine. He picks up an acoustic guitar and...
yeah, he's done fighting monsters.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah.
Be kind of hard to play a guitar with the right hand of Doom.
That's true. Yeah, it would be a little difficult. He needs modified guitar.
There's the just like a pick like stuck in a crack of the stone.
That's what he'd have to do. Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. Yeah. They'll probably eventually do it because it's probably one of the more popular Elseworlds. But I'd like to see a Red Sun movie.
Yeah.
Hasn't Superman been through enough lately?
I like Red Son. It's like the only Superman story that I really care about.
Red Son's okay. I like it. I think it gets a little more hype than
it deserves.
Or maybe I'm just burnt out on that story because I'm glad you enjoy it, but I'm so tired of hearing people say, oh my God, Red Sun. Superman should be more like Red Sun. That's the best story. It's not. It's really not.
No, it's not. I don't want Superman to be like Red Sun. I mean, there's a reason he's a jerk.
Superman Red Sun is if baby Kal-El landed in communist Russia instead of
Kansas.
Middle of Kansas. That's the whole
conceit. That's the whole shtick, yeah.
Of the story. It's a fine story. I'm just tired of people saying that it's the end-all be-all of DC Elseworld stories.
In Soviet Russia, Superman's you.
Except perfect. He's not, except nailed, he's it. Not. Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
Nailed it. I mean, there are plenty of other Elseworlds we'll never see, because a lot of Elseworlds really focus on Batman.
Yeah, he's an easy...
Like there's, you know, Captain Leatherwing, and then there's like the one Old West Batman.
He's easy to fit into different time periods and make work because he's just a guy.
Yeah.
He's a punch detective.
He's
punched it.
So many episode titles we've thrown in so far. I love it.
I've got Dragon Quest Builders.
Oh, yeah. Switch. How is it?
Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
There are two.
What? There's only one. There's only one Dragon Quest Builders.
Oh, I'm thinking Heroes. Never mind. Yeah. Never mind. I'm thinking Heroes. Never mind.
Okay. Anyway.
It's a kind of Dragon Quest-y Minecraft.
Yeah, I was going to say, crossover. It's kind of like that, isn't it?
And I hate Minecraft. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I like this game, though. I don't know if it's it's probably the Dragon Quest-iness has a lot to do with it.
The RPG-ish elements and kind of the recognizable monsters, maybe? Yeah.
I mean, there's no real RPG elements.
Isn't.
Actually, you can't level up.
Oh, interesting.
Because your special power is building.
Okay.
You are not the hero.
Okay.
Which it actually tells you that.
Oh, that's cool.
But it takes place in kind of like an, I don't know if it's an alternate reality to Dragon Quest 1 or if it's just like a prequel, but it's really connected to the first Dragon Quest. It takes place in a world where the Dragon Lord won.
Oh, interesting.
And all the towns are destroyed and humanity has lost the ability to create things.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And you wake up in a tomb not unlike Breath of the Wild and you can build and you can craft and you have to go along and rebuild the town, like the original towns from the other games.
Really?
Same names and everything.
Okay.
And kind of get humanity back to being able to create and build.
Interesting. That's cool.
And you build little JRPG towns, which is more compelling than Minecraft is.
Yeah.
I think.
Where
punch this tree, get some wood, make some stuff.
Yeah. Maybe the idea of there being kind of a story helps.
Yeah.
Because Minecraft is just...
In a purpose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Minecraft literally has no purpose. It's just...
Just do the thing.
These are elements. Now go have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is a draw to that for some folks. And sometimes I'll jump into Minecraft every once in a while.
It's been a while. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was real Minecraft heavy for a long time.
I understand the appeal of Minecraft. Mm-hmm. It's just not something I enjoy.
Yeah. I'm that way with Lego Worlds. I burn out on that super quick, and I don't think I'm ever going to go back to it.
You know, I keep looking at it at the store, and I almost pick it up with my for the Switch. Like
I like it, but I haven't played it that much. My computer doesn't run it very well. And that's
mine doesn't either, for whatever reason.
It's on the Switch.
Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that you can just explore and find things, mm-hmm. and it's a lot different than it was in beta too. They changed a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they made it so I can't play it, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, beta worked just fine.
I could
run
it in beta, but now I can't.
And for me, it hangs on the first character creation spot. I can't actually get to the world to actually play the game because it hangs on me trying to change my character even a tiny bit.
That stinks.
Yeah.
The thing I really like also about Dragon Quest Builders is like, they give you blueprints for things,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of turns into like building a Lego set.
Oh, that's cool.
Like following the instructions. And like, I kind of like that. Like, I get something out of that for whatever reason.
That's excellent.
So you would not be a master builder. You'd be with Lord Business.
Apparently.
Because everything is awesome. Hmm.
Also, when you fight golems, they drop a material that's called golemite.
I like that.
Great.
Where is Golem and what has he had?
My brain went to Futurama when they're doing the dolomite sketch.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's the
hard black mineral that don't cop out when there's heat all about.
It's dolomite, baby. Good news, everybody.
It's Minecraft with stuff I like in it.
See, there, and that's good. That works.
It's Minecraft with a, but it sounds like it's Minecraft with a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more than like five bad guys.
True.
Or does Minecraft have more now?
It has a lot.
They
more
added
now.
A bunch of stuff to it. Yeah.
For the longest time, it was just like four guys, and I'm like,
the ones that will blow up your stuff, and the ones that will shoot at you. Yeah. And that's.
And then the zombies are just kind of. Yeah.
Although I'll be honest, when I play Minecraft, I put it on peaceful mode. I don't put it on like creative where you just get everything. So I have to actually go out and mine for stuff. But I turn off the
aggression.
The aggression. I turn it completely off. So there's no like, the only way to die is to either drown or like fall from a high cliff. Because at that point, it's
lava.
It's just my fault. But because I would use it as a stress relieving.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's, say what you will about the game, it's incredibly peaceful when you're just kind of going through and just, you know,
doing stuff.
Yeah.
Just mindless busy work, basically.
Other than that, I watched What We Do in the Shadows last night.
I still want to watch that.
It's
a good
pretty
movie.
Good. It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. Yeah.
It looked funny.
Done by Taika Waititi, the guy who did Thor Ragnarok,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. one of the Flight of the Conchords.
Flight of the Conchords, yeah. It's the one that's done stuff. The one that the one
Jermaine.
That's Jermaine Clement, that's it, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah.
Kind of like a slow burn funny.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
They're doing a series of that, aren't they?
And another movie, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're in talks to do a TV series and they're doing a movie about the werewolf characters.
Okay.
Which is called Werewolves, which is hilarious. There's no better title.
That's pretty great. Yeah. So for the folks who haven't seen it, what is What We Do in the Shadows?
It's a faux documentary.
A mockumentary.
A mockumentary film about vampires that live in New Zealand. And just how they go about their day.
Yeah.
Well,
or night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just like comically inept and goofy, mm-hmm. and
well, they're all kind of stuck in the period that they were turned, basically.
Yeah.
So there's a Victorian era Dracula, and there's a like a 70s Dracula. Is that right? Something kind of like that ish.
Not. He's kind of taken on a 70s kind
gotcha.
Of.
That's.
But
it.
He was really like way older than that.
That's what. Yeah.
And then there's like a straight up Nosferatu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they bite a new guy, and mm-hmm. it kind of deals with them dealing with a new vampire.
Yeah.
It's just really good and really funny.
Yeah.
There's some great jokes in there.
And the werewolves, they're like bros, aren't they? Something
yeah,
like that.
They're kind of like bro, like weird bros.
Yeah.
Weird bros.
Weird bros. But it's on Amazon. Like, it's worth a watch.
It's worth a watch. Yeah, it definitely is. All right. Well, hey, we're actually at time for the break, so let's go ahead and take a few seconds. Let's do a song, and when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news. Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 122 West Rensselaer Street in downtown Bucyrus, 567-806-5364, and online at subcultureoh.com. Hey, we're back. That was Anna Ng by They Might Be Giants. Seemed like a pretty easy pick for the song this week.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
I don't want the world. I just want your half.
All right. So let's go ahead and talk about some news. And we're just going to go right from the top of the list. Joaquin Phoenix is in talks to portray the Joker in a... It's not a Joker origin movie. I looked it up earlier. It is a, but it is a gritty crime drama circled around the DC villain, the Joker, produced by Martin Scorsese, which is kind of crazy and awesome.
Yeah.
It does not take place within the DC extended cinematic universe, though. So
the trash universe.
So Joaquin Phoenix will not be overriding that awful, awful garbage Joker from. Suicide Squad.
The DC cinematic tire fire.
That pretty much. Yeah.
The DCPU.
Yeah. But no, what do you guys think? Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like that a lot.
It is forever that now.
Yeah.
Boom. That's it. Boom. Got it. So, but anyway, what do you guys
think?
This
is casting I can get behind.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix is he's a pretty good actor.
Yeah. And
I guess he was in talks at one point to portray Lex Luthor in Batman v Superman at one point. He was also in talks for, God, there was another, let me look at the article. He was...
It would have been better than Facebook boy.
Yeah.
Dr. Facebook.
He was also in talks for a part in Doctor Strange, but he turned them both down because he said they were too comic booky. But because this is a gritty crime drama that just happens to be the Joker, he's way more interested in it.
So he has no respect for the medium of comic books.
He doesn't, but he wants to walk around in white face paint.
Okay,
and shoot fools.
And laugh maniacally.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm in.
Do you think
he wants some of that, what's his name, recognition?
Heath Ledger?
Yeah, Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be more like the Joker we kind of see in... The Dark Knight Returns.
I was just thinking, yeah, it was probably going to be closer to that, the white suit,
mm-hmm.
Dark Knight Returns Joker.
An older Joker.
Yeah, which I would actually, if it's a Joker-centric movie, I don't want Batman to be in it until like the last 2 minutes.
When he punches his lights out?
Yeah, I want the movie to end with...
It's anticlimactic. No, oh, he lost.
No, I don't even want the fight. I just want, you know, the Joker doing all of his stuff throughout the movie, and the last... scene is, you know, and you see like at some points, you know, a henchman gets picked off here or a henchman gets picked off there, but you never actually see Batman. And the very end is the Joker's ragged. He's running. He's like, you know, I'm, you know, his plan is kind of falling apart. And the last shot is like the Joker at like a corner of an alleyway or something like that, a dead end. And you just see like a drop down of a dark shadow. And you just see like the back cowl of Batman with like the cowl in the moonlight, cut to black. Like you don't even see the fight. You don't
or really,
see
really dark gray.
Yeah, right. but no, you don't. A Joker movie without Batman, just the Joker being the Joker. I would be into that.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be a really interesting piece.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Bring in the Gotham City PD. Make it a Joker versus like, Commissioner Gordon, mm-hmm. and Gordon's team kind of film. I'm in. For
and
something like
and maybe
that.
Like Gordon maybe mentioning that he's, you know, getting leads or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope he's less mafioso crime bossy than like half of Jack Nicholson was in Batman.
Well, here's the
he's gonna be very mafia. He's so gonna be
it's a I know, Scorsese
I
film.
Know, yeah. I know.
So yeah,
I want some Joker shenanigans. I mean, I understand. I want to be more of a serious film and stuff.
Yeah, but. Yeah. That's my favorite Joker is the Joker that thinks he's the funniest man in the room.
Oh sure, yeah.
And the things he says aren't funny at all, but are somehow hilarious.
In yeah. context. Yeah,
and sometimes a little terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm reading this off of the Mary Sue. It says that the film, which was scripted by both Todd Phillips and Scott Silver, who did the movie The Fighter, which is really good if you haven't seen that.
Yeah.
It's going to delve into what it took for the Joker to become a criminal mastermind. It's reportedly going to be set in the 80s, and it's going to be more gritty crime drama than traditional superhero film.
So do you think it'll deal with more like the Red Hood gang and stuff?
It could. It could potentially be Red Hood. It could potentially be, pick an origin for the Joker.
I know, right?
Is he going to be doing stand-up?
Yeah.
Like,
I always liked the Red Hood gang failed stand-up comedian origin for him. Although I like that in that original origin, he was never given a name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's just a random comedian that...
A really struggling comedian.
That a gang pretty much set up as a patsy.
There's something with stand-up comedians and mental illness and that anguish that I think works really well.
I agree.
Into the Joker.
Yeah, he just did it because, you know, he was broke and his wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
And, you know, he happened to work in the chemical plant or whatever.
Yep.
Joker.
Yeah. So
get back to that. Well, that was an episode title back in the day.
Mm-hmm. That was. Yeah. Okay. So, moving on from what seems to be a really good, proposal for a superhero film to a, at the outset, really bad sounding, but if you think about it, might make sense. They're in talks for another Lobo movie. Lobo is basically DC's Wolverine, space Wolverine, kind of.
He's the main man.
Yeah.
He's an alien who has regenerative powers, who flies around on a rocket motorcycle.
Yeah, flying motorcycle from space.
Yep. Yeah.
He's a bounty hunter guy.
Yeah, he's a space bounty hunter.
He's kind of a takeoff on like the Spawn type characters from the 90s.
Yeah, he was a joke character.
Yeah.
Who got really popular.
Yeah.
Because he's the main man.
Yeah. And they're in talks for a Lobo movie be directed or at least produced by Michael Bay, which at first sounds, oh God, no, Michael Bay, no, stay away. But think about it for a second.
It's Lobo.
Yeah. Just think. Lobo's whole shtick is that he just blows things up and everything is like surface level only.
Yeah, he
action.
Doesn't think.
Just dumb. Just dumb, stupid action and explosions. And what's Michael Bay good at?
Exactly that.
So it might actually work. Now, Lobo's actually been on and off of development for a number of years. I remember way back when they were in talks. What's his name? The Kurgan. Clancy Brown was in talks when he was a little younger to portray Lobo in a live action.
That could have worked.
And I think it was Robert Rodriguez that was attached to it, man. Very, very briefly.
That would have been a good movie.
Which would have been super good, too. Yeah. But no, I can get behind a Lobo Michael Bay film if they take it in a kind of parody of superhero film direction. Whether they would actually do that or not, you know.
He could almost be DC's Deadpool, kind of.
And you know what? I actually think that's kind of what
they want.
What they want is... They want the funny, R-rated, over-the-top DC movie.
Because that's what Lobo would be.
Yeah.
It's exactly what Lobo would be.
I mean, come on. Some of the best episodes of Justice League where he just bursts through a wall and just says some cheesy one-liners.
I mean, he's more of a Duke Nukem than a Deadpool. But...
Yeah, but it would work.
Yeah.
It would still work.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be excited for this movie.
Boot spikes and leg pouches.
Oh, yeah. And space dolphins.
Yeah.
He loves space dolphins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of the joke, is that he's this big, huge, you know, giant bounty, beer-drinking bounty hunter.
Space biker bounty hunter.
But he spends a lot of his, like, bounty money on, like, feeding space dolphins, because why not?
Because he needed a purpose?
I guess. He was created by Keith Giffen, the guy who did Ambush Bug and a lot of the other like jokey joke funny characters, like the Legion of Substitute Heroes, the Legion, the Legion of Superheroes reject team. Yeah, including Stone Boy, the guy who can turn into stone but also can't move when he turns into stone.
He's Kirby.
Yeah, he's pretty much Kirby. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
man, that new Kirby looks real good.
It looks super good. I'm really looking forward to playing it.
You see, there's a power, it's just called Pole, but he basically turns into Sun Wukong.
Nice! Oh, that's excellent. I heard it's going to get amiibo support.
I would hope so, because there's a lot of Kirby amiibo. Well, four, but
there's
still,
four, but
it's Kirby. You wouldn't expect four.
Right.
He's not a character I would expect to get an amiibo line, but he did.
He did. He got a short amiibo line. Yeah.
He did, and Star Fox did not.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, never say never.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want your Slippy Toad and your...
Yeah, my Peppy Hair.
Peppy Hair. You tap the amiibo and you do a barrel roll.
Yep. You guys are all forgetting the most important amiibo character.
Sure, let's hear it.
General Pepper.
Well, he has a lot of varied designs, and some of them are very bad, and then some of them are okay.
Yeah, I agree.
There's one where he has like these really weird deep set eyes that is kind of disturbing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just tap it on the reader there and do good look.
Good look.
Anyway, we're tangenting here.
Yeah, we're way off track.
Star Fox Assault is really good, and it doesn't get the respect it deserves.
I haven't played it, so I'll take your word for it. Let's see. Let's do one other superhero movie thing. They leaked Thor's hammer for Avengers Infinity War in toy form, of all things.
Of course. Everything gets leaked by a toy now.
Yeah.
I saw a possible leak from a Lego set, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. What's your leak? Let's hear it.
It was the Hulkbuster armor.
Yeah.
And on the back of
Is it Bruce Banner inside
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of figured that was going to be the case. Well, in the trailer, they showed Bruce Banner standing next to the
pieces of the Hulkbuster, yeah.
So I kind of figured that was going to be the case. But anyway, Thor's hammer was destroyed in Thor Ragnarok. So he's kind of just without...
Spoilers.
It's fine.
That was it's been...
It was in the trailer. I'm joking.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was definitely in the trailer. So he's getting a new hammer. The toy is called Stormbreaker, which is interesting because that is the name of a Thor side character. And one of my favorite characters in the Marvel Universe, Beta Ray Bill, who is a space alien Thor with a horse head.
He's like a cop.
Kinda. Yeah, he's a cop that was... worthy enough to pick up Thor's hammer, and when
Odin
Thor
gave him one.
Yeah, Odin gave him a slightly less powerful one when Thor finally got his own hammer back, as kind of a consolation prize, basically.
Yep.
But this version of the hammer looks really similar to the Ultimates Thor's hammer, which has a hammer kind of on one end
and an axe head
on the other, and it looks very like alien techie, kind of like. From something from War World or whatever the Game Masters.
Yeah, I can't
planet. I can't think of what it's called. But the
did it have a name?
I don't think it did. But it might have, and I'm just forgetting.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant right now.
But the handle for it is interesting because it looks like
Grootwood.
Grootwood.
It looks like Groot might have a hand in this, which makes sense because
literally.
nice. But it kind of makes sense because Thor gets picked up
by the Guardians.
The Guardians at some point during the it's in the trailer.
Yep.
Essentially. So that's interesting. I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing what they do with that. It's kind of a bummer that it's leaked in toy form.
They need to really get a handle on these toy people.
They do. I totally agree.
Disney's pretty good about it with Star Wars.
Yeah, you get very generic
Lego.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Lego, though.
Like
those Lego sets, though. They leak a lot of stuff through Lego sets.
A little bit.
Yeah.
They were really good with The Force Awakens.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
They didn't leak anything with those, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Rogue One they did.
Rogue One they did. Solo, they've kind of...
Oh, yeah. We've already seen the Millennium Falcon thanks to the Lego.
Yeah. Yeah. But then again, we've already seen the Millennium Falcon. If you've seen the Millennium Falcon, just imagine it brand new and possibly owned by the Empire. That's kind of it.
And doesn't have the fork on the front.
Yeah, right. I thought that was weird that they filled that in.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I guess you get more...
aerodynamics
in
space.
Well, I guess there's no space aerodynamics.
So you make those Kessel runs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if cutting that out in the middle was a thing that Han did.
Maybe.
Orlando.
One of his many
modifications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe there was a Empire tracker on that front piece or something along those lines.
And, I don't know.
And
rampant, baseless Star Wars speculation.
From a toy.
All right. So anyway, yeah, let's talk about a little bit of game news. Why not? There's a new trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3. Now, I haven't played any of the Kingdom Hearts games, so you guys are going to have to take the reins on this one.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I've played almost all of them, and I couldn't tell you what's going on in this trailer.
I will say, here's the thing with like Kingdom Hearts. I've played the main ones.
Okay.
I really like them, but the story is buck wild. It goes everywhere.
It makes no sense.
Half the time.
Should we explain in like, what's the elevator pitch for Kingdom Hearts?
That's funny you say that because it was pitched in an elevator.
Oh, really?
For real.
Interesting. Okay.
So, Kingdom Hearts is a love child.
Disney Final Fantasy.
Yes. It's a love channel, a love child of JRPG Final Fantasy characters and Disney property characters.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird mashup.
It worked back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has like this almost real-time combat kind of thing.
That's very much the way it's been going
now.
In,
yeah.
Yeah. Nowadays, mm-hmm. in JRPGs.
When the first Kingdom Hearts came out, they were still doing turn-based RPG or Final Fantasies.
Yeah.
Right. That's true.
This was kind of a big shift.
Yeah.
It was.
It was.
Yeah.
But you're, you know, this kid Sora from this island, and all these places start disappearing for some reason.
Yeah,
you're going to hear that phrase a lot.
For some reason.
For some reason.
Yes.
And you team up with Goofy and Donald.
For some reason.
Yes, on the behest of King Mickey.
To travel in a ship made
of... The gummy ships.
Yeah, a ship made of boxes.
Yeah, that was piloted by Chip and Dale.
Dale,
for some reason. Also, you fight Cloud from Final Fantasy VII at some point.
Also, Sephiroth.
And Sephiroth.
That boss fight is ridiculous.
That's what I keep hearing.
He was also voiced by Lance Bass.
Yes.
For some reason.
Yeah. And then you travel to these different Disney worlds to solve their problems.
Yeah.
And fight the Heartless, at least in the first game, anyway.
Yeah, which are like shadow monsters.
Yes, basically when somebody... loses their
heart, whatever that means.
Whatever.
But the Kingdom Hearts equivalent to, I don't know, to your will to live, your enthusiasm, something.
Who knows?
It creates a monster called a Heartless. It's for some reason.
For some reason.
Okay, we can't hang on this for too much longer, but the trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3 looks really good. It looks like a lot of it's going to take place in Pixar and Disney 3D animated.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of there was a lot of Monsters, Inc.
A lot of Monsters, Inc.
There was a lot of Toy Story. Mm-hmm.
Tangled.
A little bit of Tangled.
A little bit of Tangled. I heard that Wreck-It Ralph plays a part in this.
Oh, I hope so. He would make almost too much sense.
It would. It really would. Yeah.
Yeah, how do you reconcile its world? Do you fold it into its world, or do you fold its world into Kingdom Hearts?
That's a good question. Who knows?
Is it going into a video game, or is everything just a video game?
Yeah.
Is Kingdom Hearts a video game in the world of Wreck-It Ralph?
Or is
Wreck-It Ralph a world of video games within Kingdom Hearts?
Who?
I just blew your mind.
I mean, in the second Kingdom Hearts, you travel into Tron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you help Tron.
That's the best.
And you help Tron fight
Master Control Program.
Mm-hmm.
And they made light cycles boring.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts manages to make light cycles boring.
A Herculean task.
But they did it.
They did it.
I really liked that level, though.
Oh, yeah. The Tron level rules, but...
I always thought Kingdom Hearts should have been folded into the Disney Infinity.
Yeah, it would have made... It makes too much sense.
Yeah, that's true.
This is Kingdom Hearts we're talking about.
Sora and a Keyblade should have been a piece in...
It wouldn't have Disney saved. Infinity. It wouldn't have saved that game.
Oh no, it definitely wouldn't have. But in retrospect, I bought
the Star Wars one for $6 the other day.
Nice.
At this point, I just kind of want the figures.
Yeah.
Oh sure, yeah. Because the figures are cool looking.
I don't care.
Well, the figures did a really good job of melding all of the disparate art styles of all the different into one uniform kind of art style, and that's really neat.
Oh yeah.
And the art style is really nice as well.
They looked great. I loved them.
Yeah.
I'm not falling for another Toys to Life thing after Lego Dimensions.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Well, Amiibos are different.
Amiibos.
Amiibos are almost like an accessory. They're not so much a game designed to sell toys.
You don't have to buy an $80 portal every 6 months.
That's very true. That's very, very true.
No, you just got to buy that new $60 game that has Amiibos at work.
Yeah.
But you're going to buy the game anyway.
I know, right?
Yep. All right, so we've got a couple of quick hits for games. First off, Toad, you know, of Mario.
Mario's pal Toad.
Yeah. That thing on his head, the toadstool, it's not a hat. That's his head.
In case you're wondering.
Apparently
people have been debating it for years.
Officially.
Or, like, really for, like, the past couple months, it's been a thing on the internet.
Yeah.
Even though I've been sitting here the whole time going, it's his head.
It's his head.
You wouldn't even question it if it weren't for a scene in the cartoon that's a dumb show.
Yeah.
Where he uses it as a parachute or something.
Right. So
it's like going, well, is Milli Vanilli real in the Mario universe since they were in an episode of the Mario 3 cartoon?
No.
is Princess Peach really a huge Milli Vanilli fan in the Mario canon?
Yes. Yes, she is.
Have you seen the picture of her from that episode?
No,
she's got like a Milli Vanilli sweater on. It's amazing.
Is it over her dress?
She's not wearing her dress. She's dressed up to go to a Milli Vanilli concert.
That's excellent. Oh my god, I'm gonna have to find that picture.
Oh yeah, it's great.
I will say I did enjoy the Super Mario Brothers 3 cartoon more than the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Agreed. It's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think the Mario World one was the best one, but I watched it recently and it's the worst one.
It's not good.
No, Yoshi's terrible. He adds nothing. The only good thing is the theme song that Mark Mothersbaugh did for it.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Next up, they're doing a remaster of the Spyro trilogy.
No, it's not been officially said. It is currently a rumor.
I will eat something weird on this show if they don't.
Fair enough. Yeah. You heard it here. I'm holding you to it.
Okay.
Notice he said something weird.
Something weird, not something spicy.
It could be spicy.
It could be spicy. Okay.
I think it's a given.
Dealer's choice.
Dealer's choice.
But yeah, I mean, we were talking before the show and you mentioned that, you know, with the Crash Bandicoot.
And Activision owns both. Yeah. And the Crash Bandicoot remaster did gangbusters for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it only makes sense that they go to the Spyro well next.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Plus, you know, Spyro is great.
Yeah, they're good games.
Good games, Brent.
It holds a very special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be excited for it. I'll buy it when it comes out.
I keep saying, like, if they released a Spyro, it would be pretty much the nail in the coffin that gets me to buy a PlayStation 4.
Oh, there you go.
Here it comes.
Here it comes, yeah. let's see.
Just don't make it be that Spyro that has, like, David Spade voicing the Firefly.
Oh, jeez.
No, it's Elijah Wood as Spyro and David Spade as his Firefly buddy.
A star-studded cast!
Yeah, that's for real. I'm not making that up.
I don't doubt you. That sounds awful.
It is. I've played it. It is awful.
All right. So next up, and this might be our last thing because we're getting pretty close. So Evo is a fighting game, huge fighting game tournament.
It's
like the fighting game tournament. And it takes place out in Las Vegas every year. It's also where a lot of other games get announced, things like that.
Of the fighting game variety.
And there's every year there's always a lineup of some of the most popular games of the season or of the year that are kind of like the main stage kind of, you know,
a fighting game,
you know, tournaments. There's always other games that are kind of like in side pools and stuff like that. In fact, I think one year there was a side pool that was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Time. The tournament fighters. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That was like a side pool kind of tournament.
They should
tournament.
Do a side pool tournament of Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
Right. There you go. Perfect.
I'm not joking. I've heard it's pretty buck wild. when you get two people playing, because it's got a versus sure. math mode.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Competitive math.
Yeah, well, and you can play the, you can grab the numbers that the other player needs and kind of like, there's strategy. Yeah. There's weird strategy to it.
Yeah. Anyway, what I was getting to with this is they announced the listing of main stage tournaments, the games for the tournament, and a lot of really good games on there, a lot of really recent games, Injustice 2, Street Fighter 5 Arcade Edition, Tekken 7, a couple of, you know, older games, Guilty Gear, Xrd, Smash Brothers Melee for some reason. There's actually two Smash Brothers games on here.
People can't let it go. Let Melee go.
Yeah, just be done with it. Just
the Wii U Smash Brothers is fine.
Just it's better.
It be done.
It's better than Melee.
It's a better game. Yeah. But the Wii U, the Smash Brothers Wii U's on there, and Dragon Ball Fighters, which is huge right now.
It's the new hotness.
Just came out.
And it's super good. There's even a game on there that's not even been released yet. Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. That's not even out yet. One game that is not on the list that was released within the last 6 months was Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. This is kind of a big deal because Marvel vs. Capcom has been a mainstay of Evo
and the fighting game community
since almost the beginning. Yeah.
But this is what happened.
MVC 3 is like huge, and some of the other, yeah, I mean, this is a big deal, but
this is what happens when you do a bad Capcom.
Yeah, like, Capcom did a real bad job with this one. So to answer the question, when's Marvel? Answer's not this year.
Yeah. I'm Marvel, baby.
Not this year, baby.
They cut it, and deservedly so. It's an ugly bad game.
Yeah, it's, you know, it gets good numbers. It has a decent
fan following.
I want to say a decent fan following, but there were multiple screenshots of taken a day or two after Dragon Ball FighterZ or Fighters, however you say it, when that game released, of people trying to get into like the online game match lobby for Marvel vs. Capcom, and there were zero users online. That's not a joke. There were zero at points. This game at that point had been out less than 2-3 months.
This is what you get when your special edition comes with the infinity eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. It fighting games these days, they're built to be kind of evergreen because, you know, you have different players, different revisions of the game that are constantly being
released.
Now
they release seasons of characters.
Yeah. Well, shoot. Street Fighter V is on its first major pack. It's been upgraded to the Arcade Edition. It's on its third season of DLC characters and has no signs of slowing down. And Street Fighter V is not a great game. It plays fine. And some of the newer characters have some really interesting mechanics. But like the base game's not super good. And it's still on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom, they did a bad, and they're paying for it, which is a shame because
there's no reason like why it should be bad.
There's no reason. They had all the time in the world to, and a lot of the bad comes down to character models. It's an ugly game. It's an incredibly ugly game, and they've tried to go back through and patch out some of the uglier models and kind of fix some things. It's not good. Plus,
how do you make Chun-Li ugly?
Oh,
like how did they manage to do that?
They did it. They managed it.
I mean, she's got a killer model in Street Fighter V.
They
should have
just
great.
Used that. Or they should have used the model from Street Fighter IV. She looked fine in that too. Yeah, I just don't understand it. I really just don't understand it.
Do you think
it.
Maybe because they rushed Infinite maybe? Because it was years and years between 2 and 3.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. They,
there's I feel a lot like of maybe Disney meddling.
They, it might have been some Disney meddling. It might have been Capcom kind of jumping the gun and seeing initial returns on Street Fighter V and going, "Oh shoot, we need to
get a name out there,
get something else out there to kind of, you know, level the playing field a little bit." I don't know, but
You know, this is kind of in Capcom's nature to do a bad one and then come back and blow everybody out of the water with the next one.
I hope that's what
happens. It's what they do. They get into a rut with whatever series it is.
Yeah.
And then they go, whoops, better fix this.
Yeah.
They did it with Resident Evil.
Yeah.
They did it with Monster Hunter.
That's very true. That's very true.
I've heard Worlds is great.
I've heard nothing but good things about Worlds.
I haven't played it enough still to have an opinion on it, but so far I really like it.
Yeah. But I really hope this doesn't put an end to the Marvel versus Capcom line. I really hope they can kind of bounce back from it. But boy, oh boy, I hope Capcom learns from their mistakes on this game. Because, I mean, they're paying for it. Right now...
Okay, this is a big deal. This is a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Listen, the only out of all of the main fighting games at Evo, Capcom only has one game. It's Street Fighter V.
And Capcom is like the fighting game.
Yeah, there's one Capcom. The two Smash are those are HAL Laboratories and Nintendo.
Yeah.
Tekken 7 is
Namco.
Namco.
Bandai Namco.
Yeah. Blaze Blue, Guilty Gear, and Fighters is
Arc System Works.
They're all Arxis and Injustice 2. Well, that's another realm. That's
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. Who cares? Yeah. Although the Ninja Turtles in that look really good, which is weird to think that the Ninja Turtles look great in a DC fighting game.
But why not?
Hey,
anything's better than DC versus Mortal Kombat versus DC, because that game was terrible.
That was
game
from was a conceptual standpoint. Rotten. That was a bad idea.
That was a rotten game. Yeah,
I mean,
Hellboy's in Injustice 2.
And he's rad in it too. I've watched all his intros and stuff. They're really good.
They're super good.
Like the character roster in Injustice 2 is pretty decent.
It's pretty good. Yeah. And the customizable costume options that if you match up certain costume bits, it actually changes your character. Like they added Raiden into the this is kind of a weird thing, and I wish it was the other way around, but they added Raiden from Mortal Kombat into the game, but with all of the Black Lightning parts, he actually turns into Black Lightning with his own voice packs. I wish it was the other way around.
Yeah,
because it's a DC game and not a Mortal Kombat game.
Yep.
But the fact that they included the character some way, or like they had Hal Jordan, but with the right parts, it turns into the different Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
John Stewart, especially, which is cool.
I wish Pokken or Arms would have been in this.
I really wish Pokken was in
than
it.
Pokken, I think, but
maybe if Pokken had a bigger, character roster.
Yeah.
Well, Pokken has a huge roster
now.
Yeah. And, Aegislash, one of the new DLC characters. I got the DLC because I'm a sucker. Aegislash plays awesome, like super super well. He's a really good technical character.
I would just like to see some really high level Arms play.
I would too. But
that would be entertaining.
There is already a strike against it because most fighting game players don't like arena fighters, and both Arms and
Pokken
are arena fighters. So because there's not as much most fighting game players like the 2D plane, where it's just kind of on one plane and you're just kind of, you know, back and forth, and, you know, the whole third dimension running around stuff trips a lot of people out, and it's a high hurdle for a lot of
where's
high
Power
level players.
Stone this year?
That would be great. Oh man, if they brought back Power Stone, I think it's time for a Power Stone revival, you guys. For
I
sure.
love Power Stone.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nuts.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think we are at time, so we got to wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on most forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, at Nerd Overload Now.
You can pop us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, still working on that. Spotify, waiting to hear back from them. Haven't been approved yet, but we're getting there. So, yeah, thanks again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.